You have your Bibles, let's quickly open to Luke 5. I just want to share three thoughts. We want to see three results of obeying the Lord. Pastor said, mentioned in his prayer about missions, or the brother who prayed, I believe, mentioned about missions. And I'd like to speak to you tonight, or quickly challenge you tonight with the time we have left, about home missions. Home missions. I compare it to, I can't come to this church and start telling you fathers how you should raise your kids. Right? Because why? Because you're the father, right? They're your responsibility. It's not my place. And so I apply that to home missions should be happening first, right? Home missions is just as important as foreign missions. And I think we have an idea. I know the Steels in Uruguay. I met them in Greenville. Good friends with them. At least we know each other by name, and we've been in different activities there back in the day. I think he'd still remember me. But we understand more or less the, you know, we help people economically and prayerfully so they can do what we're supposed to be doing here, but in a foreign mission field, right? In a foreign country. And I'd like to bring to our attention to this evening just a brief reminder about home missions, the importance of the local church, and specifically here in Greeley, Colorado. We've become to love this state. We prayed for snow, so maybe that's why we got snow in April or late March. Kids wanted to see it, and the Lord was really good, and they loved it. Mariana didn't want to get out of it. And I wanted them to feel that tingling sensation of your feelings, you know, coming back at the tip of your fingers and or wet shoes or putting bags around your socks, you know, that kind of thing. Anyway, Luke 5, if you will. Luke 5, we'll start reading at verse 4. It says, Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out in the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word will I let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. So was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time we have now in your word. We ask that you would bless it. Give me the words to say, Lord. Help me to communicate effectively and clearly the message you would have for all of us here tonight. Give your people, Lord, responsive hearts, willing hearts to hear, to listen, and to respond. And we ask these things in your name. Amen. In verse 4, Jesus, it's interesting, Jesus didn't tell Peter how to fish or how to re-throw his net. He knew that Peter was a fisherman. Peter knew what he was doing. And it's kind of interesting, we see Peter and first and his helpers, we see them washing their nets. Because they had the washing, get the salt and stuff all, so that the net, when it's not in the water, doesn't, what's the English word? Sorry. It doesn't, podrir. It doesn't. There we go. That'll be a good word. Thank you. It doesn't deteriorate. So they're washing their nets because they're done for the day. They fished all night, didn't catch anything, and here they are washing their nets. And then the master, rabbi, comes and says, hey, go do that again. You ever heard that before? Done something? You've done it. It's not working. And then someone says, hey, go do it again. And you're thinking, okay. If you think you know what you're saying, why don't you go? You know, that's kind of our attitude, right? So here's Peter. He's very honest with him. Jesus basically tells him, hey, just gives him a simple commandment. Go out, cast your net again. And Peter says, hey. And he was honest. He was saying, listen, we've just fished all night and haven't caught anything. And I think many of us can identify with that. Sometimes we feel in our daily life, in our daily routine, tomorrow's Monday, many of us go back to work, stay-at-home moms, homeschool, kids, life, there, here, groceries, church service midweek, and then we have this Saturday come. There's 54 things to do on a list. So, I mean, life happens, and we kind of go on with life, and sometimes we feel that we just haven't caught anything. Maybe we don't, maybe we've forgotten why. Why am I working? Why am I at this job? You know, what's the fun in washing dishes and loading and unloading the dishwasher and washing clothes and keeping the house clean and being on top of my kids to do their homework and to not do that, not to say this and to do that? And has anyone been there before? Sometimes we can get bogged down in the day-to-day, week-to-week routine. And I think we see Peter here with that human effort and that human part of his life. He had fished and caught nothing. But then Peter's going to do something that he has done so many times before, but now with a different focus. He has cast that net many, many times before. What makes this time different? The fact now that he's going to do it. At the end of verse 5, we read, what does it say? It says, "Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." At thy word. And here, Peter is taking a different focus. He's going to do what he's done many times, what he just had been doing all night. But now he's going to do it because he's obeying the Lord out of obedience to him. And three things occur. We see in verse 6 that there's great blessing. Did we read that correctly? Or did I? It says, when they had done this, they, speaking of Peter and his helpers, more than one boat, because they filled two. It says, when they had done this, they enclosed, how many fish? A great quantity. I don't have time, but I remember fishing in Alaska before I went to Bob Jones, the summer before I went. And we fished salmon, a quarter mile long net. And it's neat when we're what you call the money bag. It's the part of the net that's really thick, because that's where as the hydraulics lift it out of the water, that's where all the fish go down to, so it's a thicker part. And when you see that, as the captain would roll the money bag onto the boat, you know, to dump it in the fish hold, because I was in the skiff, I was in the kind of like a little banga speedboat, kind of like to the side. I remember seeing that boat just tilt, and depending on how much it tilted, and I'm thinking, wow, I did a good job, or oh man, it barely went like this. That means there wasn't much fish, and there's that sensation. And so here we see a great blessing. Peter throws that net and goes, okay, here we go again. All right, we can hurry up and get this over with. Go clean the net again. And then all of a sudden he reaches down and his muscles flex. He's like, oh. Because that blessing, ladies and gentlemen, can be unexpected at times. And see, that's what happens when we obey the Lord at his word by faith and out of love for him. There is unexpected blessing. And I could be here all night, and maybe many of you, unexpected blessings of how the Lord has provided, has been there, done this, done that, when we simply obey by faith. Or even Peter, if you notice here, verses 8 and 9, he didn't go by faith. It was more reluctant, a reluctancy. Because he asked the Lord, apart from me, I'm a sinner, I didn't believe you. I obeyed because I had to, but the Lord still blessed. And secondly, verse 7, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships so that they began to sink. Wow. Here we see a second result of obeying the Lord, or having this spiritual focus in life, is that you have a positive influence on others. You have a circle of influence that only you can influence positively. And what I'm not just saying positive thinking, like the humanism in our world today, just kind of think and do exercise and eat healthy and just happy, you know. Good morning, America, you know, just kind of, hey, you know, great day today, sun shining, and just, you know. No, when you obey and you follow the Lord and you see your life not just as this vague routine, this, that, and the other, but you have a spiritual focus on what the Lord wants you to do and where you work and the home you live in, others are going to see that. And you're going to influence, you know who you're going to influence positively more? Your children, your nephews, your grandchildren. Because they're going to see, is it worth going to church? Is it worth getting up early to go to Sunday school? Is it worth to sacrifice my soccer and baseball game to go to a church activity? And by all means, yes, it is. My son will be the first one to say that. Because we've always, well, he might not say it, he might not admit it now, but we've always have to take him. And we go to church. We have two church services between the week. Wednesday at Nguamuchin and Thursday at in Alue. So it's kind of, it can be challenging at times, but the Lord has been good. And it's always a blessing to be with his people and be under the preaching of God's word. So you have an opportunity to influence others to see the blessings of obeying God and influence them, being able to encourage them to participate. Because God wants to use us. He really does. He wants to use you. You say, I'm not a graduate of any. Well, that's fine. At this time, Peter wasn't either. He was just a Jew who knew, he probably knew the law. He probably forgotten parts of it. Biggest thing is, no excuses. The Lord didn't call us to make excuses. But if that, no, simply go out, cast their net. Just do it again. But now do it because I'm asking you to. And since the Lord has saved us and has done so much for us, when we do that, we see the last thing here in verses 8 and 9. It says, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. And what are those last two words? Oh, Lord. See, that's interesting because in verse 5, he says, how's he addressed the Lord? Master. You know how many masters or rabbis there were in Jerusalem and probably around that time? Many. Was Jesus the only master? No. But now, because of seeing this miracle and seeing that the blessings of being of obeying this person that just told me to do what I did, his faith was grown. And that's the third result. And when we obey God out of love, because we want to, adopting a spiritual focus on life, not just the mundane here, same old, but using those opportunities for the Lord's sake, your personal faith and fear of the Lord increases, just like his did. And it's neat because verse 11, and we'll end with this. Verse 11 says, and when they had brought their ships to land, they were so excited to take the fish down to the market and sell it. Right? This is a lot of money. It's two ships full. They were fishermen. That's what they lived off of. What's it say? They forsook all. And I'm not saying you have to forsake your house to be spiritual. You have to forsake this to be a missionary. No. It's between you and the Lord. You know what you need to forsake to be a better witness. You might be working. And you're here on Saturdays, you're here on Sundays, you're here during the week. That's great. But maybe your partners, your co-laborers there, your friends, maybe they don't even know you go to church. You might have family. They kind of know who you are. They kind of know that you attend Westside Baptist. Are you willing to forsake a little bit of maybe of your commodity, a little bit of well, what is my boss going to say if I say no, that I can't work on Sunday? Are we willing to forsake that to follow the Lord? To shine for him, to live for him? Because missions, ladies and gentlemen, it starts here. It starts here. It would be hypocritical for me to tell you what to do with your children if I am not doing that with mine, right? And so as a church, as a local body, I'm not saying it's not happening. Don't get me wrong. I just want to encourage you to view your life, that perspective you have. Let it not be monotonous like Peter. I've done this, done that. Yep, here I am, empty-handed. Now what can I do, Lord? I don't have this. I've never been prepared. I've never been classed. I never went here. I'm just a nobody. I barely, you know, we're like Moses. And the Lord's kind of rolling his eyes, and I say that respectfully. He's just, okay, here we go. He wants us to simply cast our nets. Go back to work tomorrow. Go back to your sphere of influence tomorrow. Tomorrow's Monday. A new week began today. Continues tomorrow. And he wants you to cast your net of the gospel. Throw it out. Maybe you are doing that. Great. Don't be dismayed or don't be wearied in well-doing. Keep at it. For in due time, you shall reap. And if you're not, then I would encourage you to start. There's blessings when we're faithful at just doing and obeying God at his word.